Really, thank you for today and the chance we have to come here and learn about you. I pray that you would open our hearts and that your spirit would speak to us and we could see a fuller picture of you today. And see your name and pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going through 1 Peter, and I think this is like week 6, I believe. The idea kind of we've been looking at so far is that the identity we have in Christ shapes our life, and that changes and determines what we are. Sorry, Mark. Are we good? Yeah. Now they can just look in if they want to. But that's kind of the big theme in Peter is what we are, who we are in Christ determines what we do, and that shapes our life. And without that, I don't know. I just don't think there's really. That's the only real thing I think in our life that will shape our life and change us for good and for long term is the gospel and identity we have in Christ. And that's what kind of Peter's all about, is just going back and forth between who we are in Christ and if that's who we are, how do we put that in practice? How do we live? What's that look like? But it always ties it back to who are we in Christ. And okay, and today we're going to talk about husbands and wives and marriage. And that's the big thing we're going to look at. And especially how our relationship with God and our identity with Him shapes how we act in a marriage, how a husband and wife should treat each other. So here's the deal. Maybe you feel like you are far from being married. Or maybe you probably haven't been married, but maybe you've been married. Maybe you are coming out of the marriage relationship, coming out of a marriage. This would apply to you in any of those situations. It may seem like it's something that doesn't really apply to you right now, but maybe in the future it would, and that is true. But the thing is, just because of the way our culture is set up, marriage is a really key part of it. It's an integral piece of our culture and the life we live. So for each of us, there is probably going to be some impact that marriage is going to have on our life. Either we'll probably get married, or we will know somebody who will. And either way, how we view marriage now, let's say you're married, seeing how God intended for marriage will help us to live in a way to basically live in the way marriage is meant to be. And I think ultimately that is the way marriage will work best, is if we're living the way God intended it for it to be. So the more we understand that, the more we can ultimately have a better marriage. But even if you're in a situation where you think, okay, I'm not going to be married for a long time, the sooner we can kind of shape our expectation of marriage, the better that is for each of us, I think. And also, sooner or later, there's going to be somebody around you getting married or that is married that needs advice or something like that. And you'll be able to help them in that situation. So it also kind of ties together with the fact that today's Mother's Day, because today we remember what mothers do. And the section in 1 Peter that we're going to read talks primarily actually to wives, which tend to be mothers as well. So it's interesting that those kind of coincide. I think it's also interesting that there's a place in the Bible that says, like when the time was right, Jesus came from a woman. And that it was, ultimately, Jesus came from a woman. He came from a mother. And without that, without having a mother, we wouldn't have Jesus. And we wouldn't have a chance to know God and be have new life in Him. So it's kind of cool. I mean, why mothers are a very important part of our life and each of us here. We wouldn't be here without a mother. So we really should be thankful for what they do for us. I'm not going to be a mother, but if you are in a position where you could be a mother or will be a mother, that is a very important calling, I guess, or thing, part of your life. But for me, I'm just going to be appreciative because I'm not going to be a mother. But anyway, so I'm going to read the section in 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. It's the first 7 verses. It talks about marriage and husbands and wives. And then we'll go through it a little bit slower. So it says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. Your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as the braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So again, that's 1 Peter 3, the beginning of that. That's what basically we're going to base everything we go through today on, is that. Now here's the deal. I'm just going to lay something out. How we normally, I think just the natural way everybody looks at marriage, like instinctively, is we look at it with expectations of how it will satisfy us and like the benefits that we'll get from it. And I really think this is something that everybody does. It's just natural. I mean, everyone does that in any circumstance, especially marriage. So when we think about going into marriage, or when we think about what marriage is about, we're usually going to think about how it benefits us, what we get from it. And it's because we have needs. I think, you know, kind of at the root of it, we have needs in our life. A lot of different kinds of needs. What are some of the needs that you guys would think of that would be, that we would expect to be satisfied through marriage? Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of it. So like money, attention, affection, sexual needs, like you said, money. So like security, financial security, just having somebody there to be there for you. There's all these needs, and I think they're God-given needs. There you go. Good job. But they're needs that I think ultimately God has given us, and they're not like bad needs in themselves. But the fact is we all have these needs. And I think because we have these needs, we have these expectations of these needs being satisfied. And so when we think about marriage, that is the first thing we think about is, will my needs be satisfied? And my expectation, what do I expect from the person I marry? What do I expect them to do for me? And how do I expect them to take care of me? Does that make sense? Okay. If it doesn't, just say, actually, that's stupid, Paul. But I really think that's kind of naturally how we do it. But what if we have it all backwards? And what if the opposite is supposed to be true? So what if the reality is that how we treat our spouse is what was really important. So naturally we think of just, you know, how are our needs going to be satisfied? How is our spouse going to treat us? But what if the opposite of it was like the right way to think about it?
What spouse?
Oh, like a husband or wife.
Oh.
Okay. So if yeah, it's either one. So if I'm a husband, it'd be my wife. If it was a wife, the spouse would be the husband. Oh. Either way, it just means like a, you know. So what if we've been thinking about it backwards this whole time, and the reality is, and how God sees it is the other way around. And the most important part and how we should think about marriage is how are we going to treat the other person instead of how they're going to treat us. How are we going to treat them? I think this is what God commands. So if you look at the first verse, so to begin with, he talks to women, and like I said, a lot of the most of the section was talking to women, actually, to wives. And then the very end was talking to husbands. And what it says is, beginning as wives in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. That's how it starts. It's talking to wives and saying, this is how you should treat your husband. And then when it talks to husbands, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. And nowhere, so in each of these places, when he's talking to wives, he says, this is how you should treat your husband. When he's talking to husband, he says, this is how you should treat your wife. And he never, in the middle, or at the end, or the beginning, nowhere in there does he say, you should treat your wife this way, if she is, if she deserves it, or you treat your husband this way if he deserves it. There's no like qualification for whether or not you should treat your husband or your wife this way. It's just, this is how, if you're a wife, this is how you should treat your husband. If you're a husband, this is how you should treat your wife. So let's see if that was a point I wanted to make. Right. So does that make sense? So instead of seeing, and obviously this doesn't really, if there's abuse happening in a marriage, it's not really, it's not really talking about that. It's not like you should treat your spouse this way regardless of whether they're abusing you or not. That's not really what it's dealing with. So I'm going to kind of ignore that aspect for the rest of the day, just so you know. But what he's saying is, regardless of how the other person's treating you, that's how you should treat them. So wives, it says, same way, be submissive to your husbands. So wives, it says, are supposed to submit and to let the husband lead and to submit to the husband's leadership. And then wives, or to husbands then, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. So the idea that husbands are supposed to be like understanding and caring and like tuned into what their wife is needing and is going through, an understanding of that. And that, I think, is how God means for it to work. That we look at it and when we look at a marriage or being married in the future, that we don't just think of it in terms of what am I going to get from this, but instead our focus is for each one of us, how am I supposed to be treating the person that I'm married to, regardless of how they treat me, whether they, regardless. So you might be thinking right now, and this is, where I would go in my mind too, is that's good and that is what he says, but that sounds impossible. Because we all know how it feels to have somebody do something that wasn't necessarily fair to us or you didn't deserve. And our instinct and what we want to do is not to be nice to them anyway, and to treat them the way we should treat them regardless of how they treat us, right? Because that's just how we don't even work, our brains just don't really work that way naturally. We don't, naturally we're really good at seeing what's fair and what's even, but we don't, and so that's how we want to live our lives, is the way that says this is fair and this is even, this person did this to me, therefore they deserve this back. Not, I don't care, not thinking, I don't care how they treat me, I'm going to treat them the best way I can regardless. So it's almost like, it almost seems impossible, to be honest, to go into marriage and think about marriage this way and say, this isn't about me being satisfied or them being, respectful to me or caring or letting me lead. It's regardless of how they're treating me, I should treat them a certain way. I didn't turn it on or anything.
No.
Sorry. You can if you want. I don't care. It's up to you.
Well, it's not connected.
Yeah. Sorry. you see what I'm saying, though? So if we see, okay, this is what God is saying. This is what this section says is we should have these certain views or that we should treat the people these certain way. But naturally, that doesn't come naturally. It almost seems impossible. Think about living with this person every day for the rest of your life. Nobody's perfect, so they're certainly not going to be perfect, and they're not going to deserve. Let's say if you're living with your husband, he's not going to deserve to be submitted to every day and to let him lead. And if you're thinking about your wife, there's going to be days when your wife is going to frustrate you. But regardless, we're called to treat them in a godly way. So that's why I think it seems impossible to actually put that in practice. And so that's kind of how Peter, and so I guess the answer to this is what kind of Peter does the whole way through the book. Is he goes back and forth between saying, this is what you should do, and then this is why you should do it. And the why we should do it is because because of who we are in Christ. So instead, so to begin with, we start saying, normally we look at marriage and saying there are, and thinking there are, we have needs and we have expectations and things we want to get for the marriage. Instead, we should be looking at the other way around of how are we supposed to treat the other person. If that seems impossible, then maybe there's like another motivation for why that enables us to do that. So think about a wife, a husband, how a husband should treat his wife. The answer, I think, is that you have to realize she is a new creation. Your wife is, everyone's human and everyone has their flaws, but your wife is a new creation in Christ. And before your wife was your wife, first she was your sister in Christ. She was spiritually your sister. And that's where her true identity is. This is a child of God. And because of that, that kind of dictates how you should treat your wife, because she's ultimately a child of God. And if you're a husband, you should lead your wife and be considerate and caring of your wife, because that's who she really is. Even if she doesn't always act that way, that's what motivates us to live that way. So that's about it. So let's say for your husband, so let's say if you are a woman, because like a big focus on this section is women, or the wife and how a wife is supposed to live. If you look back, so just a note, a side note, if you look back in Ephesians 5, it's kind of switched. It talks about husbands and wives, but it focuses mostly on husbands and how they are supposed to be considerate to their wives and treat them. But we're not in Ephesians, so. And then it talks briefly about how wives should treat their husbands. So if you are a guy, I would recommend tonight or sometime this week, go back and read the section in Ephesians. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. And really spend some time thinking about what he's saying and what that would mean to actually put that in practice for your husband. So anyway, for your wife, you are a new creation in Christ, and because of that, that dictates how you should live. So if we look at, I'm going to read the first six verses again. It's part about the wife. It says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of their lives." And then this is the kind of the, from now here's the part I really want to focus on. It says, "Your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." Okay, so begin with, he says, view should come from, not from what you look like on the outside. Then he gives some examples of that. So for them, apparently how dressing up was and how they tried to look good was braiding hair and wearing gold jewelry and nice clothes, which is basically the same thing we still do today. We try to make our hair look nice and we wear nice clothes and stuff like that. It's the same thing, really. He's not saying don't do that. What he's saying is instead, and then he follows that with saying instead, your beauty, it meaning your beauty or what is the beautiful thing about you, should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So he's saying instead of just the physical, like what we are on the outside, looking at that and saying, you know, this is beautiful, this person isn't beautiful. Instead, what is really beautiful comes from the inside. And it's kind of that identity we've been talking about in Peter, is where we are new in the inside. And that changes how we act on the outside and what we are on the outside. And when we're new on the inside, and we have a new, we're a child of God, that changes. It's beautiful. And it says that it's... that's of great worth in God's sight. So it's when that shines out, that is beautiful. And guys, I mean, obviously we're going to try to look good on the outside anyway, but that is where like true, you see if someone's really beautiful or not is kind of by how they live and the way they act. So that's about it with that. So here's the deal though. You hear that. And it might sound like marriage doesn't really sound that great. And this is actually something that I've, over the last couple of years, I've kind of thought through and really had to struggle through, was this idea of, well, exactly what I'm saying is, it sometimes it just doesn't sound that great. If all marriage is us trying to treat our spouse or husband or wife a certain way because that's what God says to do and that's the way they should be treated, it sounds like there's not a lot of benefit for us, right? Because if we're not focusing on how our needs are met and how we're being taken care of and how we're feeling in the relationship, then it might seem kind of empty. And the thing is, when Jesus was talking about it, he was talking to his disciples about it once. What Jesus said was, it's how it's supposed to work is, you know, husband and wife are supposed to be married. And they're supposed to be, it's meant for like a life commitment. And they said, this is kind of a tough thing to deal with. And what Jesus said is, yeah, actually it is kind of tough. And if you can accept it, great. And if not, maybe marriage isn't for you. I understand that if you're thinking, okay, this is kind of tough. I don't really know if I buy this. I've been there and I've kind of had to work through that over the last couple of years. And that's what Jesus says too, is it is tough. What was I going to say next? I think that was all I was going to say about that. Yeah, that was it. It was basically, so you hear this and I say, there's not a lot of meaning. That opens the door to me just giving everything of who I am with no expectation of that being returned. And that is what marriage is it is saying, I'm taking the possibility of giving everything of myself, and maybe this person isn't going to return it. Maybe they will at first, but I mean, even if you think about like love at the beginning, even that's kind of selfish. Have you ever heard somebody say, you're like in a movie or something, say, I can't live without you. I love you. I can't live without you. Has anyone ever heard something like that? Okay, I have. even in that, you're saying it's a self-centered thing. Even if you're telling somebody, I love you so much, I can't live without you, what you're saying is, I need you for me. And it's a selfish thing. And that is how we naturally, I think, tend to look at it. So here is, I think, if that is not the purpose, if it's saying there's no, if it sounds like, you know, if there's nothing in it for me, what's the purpose? I think the purpose is ultimately to help your spouse get to heaven. I think so. Okay. So if you look at the very beginning, the first thing it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. And then he goes and talks about how wives should act. But the first thing he says is, so like the part I just read, he's saying, do this so that you can help your husband get to heaven. And husbands, I think, should do the same way. They should live a certain way and treat their wives the way they do to help their wives get to heaven. And I think that's the big purpose of marriage, ultimately, is to help each other get to heaven. I think that's about it, actually. So, any questions, just out of curiosity, or thoughts, or feedback? What do you mean?
Like,
I mean, I know what it means not to be a Christian, but like. Gotcha. That kind of is the goal still, yeah, I guess. Because when he, in the beginning, the first section said, wives, live this way so that if any of your husbands don't believe the word, they may be won over. And that's really kind of what the gospel is. So Jesus died for us and gave himself up for us when we didn't deserve it. And there's something about that kind of compels us, and it kind of gets inside of our heart, and it's hard to ignore. I think what he's saying is, so if you are in a situation where your husband or your wife doesn't believe the same as you, I think the goal is to kind of show them the gospel by treating them the way they should be treated, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. And that's kind of what Jesus did for us. And so, yeah, the ultimate goal would be that someday they would be in heaven with you. In that kind of situation, it's almost like that would take on even more meaning. It would even add like more like reason and purpose to live that way, because the person you love the most is not right with God, you know? So, any other thoughts or questions? Okay, so think about where you are. If you are a husband, or you're going to be a husband, think about, okay, let's say if you're a husband, how are you not being considerate to your wife and understanding what she's going through, and leading her in a godly way? And if you're a wife, how are you not submitting to your husband? There's going to be something for everyone, because nobody's perfect. So if you're a wife, how are you not letting your husband lead and following him? And if you're not married, how does this kind of like conflict with how you naturally view marriage? So let God talk to you in each of these ways and each of these situations, and show you what needs to change for you. Here's the deal, though. None of this makes any sense, or none of this really matters, if you don't already have a relationship with God. If you're not a child of God, there's no reason to live this way. And other than the fact that probably you would have a better marriage anyway, but ultimately we're saying the motivation for this comes from being a child of God. And if you're not a child of God yet, that's your next step, is being right with God. Or maybe you've tasted God before, and you know what it feels like to be his child, and you've kind of drifted away. You don't really know, it doesn't feel fresh anymore. What you need to do is spend some time with God, you know? Talk to him and pray. Talk to God and pray and read the Bible, and let God like reunite that with you. Because ultimately that's what drives everything we do in life, is that relationship with God. So we'll pray now, and then we'll go back in and have communion, which is basically just a time to remember, you know, if you are a child of God, what God did for us. And remember that and celebrate the fact that he died and he also rose and he's alive. Because of that, we're alive in him. So, Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for giving us our mothers, for blessing us with the mothers we have. Pray that each of our hearts you would be changing us and letting us see how we can submit to you and live out the identity you've given us. And so in your name we pray. Amen.